Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Today is Tuesday, July 17th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 84, the third paragraph, the fifth sentence, starting with the word we. It's the last word on that page. We react sanely and normally, reading through six sentences, ending with placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected, and the comments will be on all six sentences. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Matt M., the 12 Traditions, Nancy T., and the readers of the text are Sherry KB, Leslie W., and Elaine T. And the share ID for Monday, July 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,667. That's 11667. And for today, Tuesday, July 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,668. That's 11668. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience and strength, who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the steps of adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admit that we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so and injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, probably admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, bringing only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to service.
And thank you, Matt M. And I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 84, starting with the bottom of the page, starting with the word we. It's the last sentence of that page. We react sanely and normally, and continuing through six sentences, ending with placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And the comments will be on all those sentences. And I will now ask Sherry KB to begin us, to begin reading.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everyone on the line. Just one quick question. Do I start reading with the beginning of the promises, but just end with the sentence you asked me to?
No, you start at the very bottom of the page where it says
thank
we.
You. Thank you, Mo. Okay. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And I'll put on my timer. So again, I'm Sherry, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. These promises are so amazing to me because I like, you know, when I came into the rooms of OA, I always heard the ninth step promises, and I don't know if I walked out of the room when they were reading the ones for the tenth step, but I never heard them. Not until I started doing the work this way. So I love these promises, and for me, the fact that, and I always use the term sane, safe, and protected, because that's what I feel. I do feel sane, safe, and protected. I feel sane around the food. I feel safe. I feel protected. I haven't sworn off. It just seems like it came. One day I just realized that I was neutral around the food. It wasn't bothering me. I could go to places and enjoy myself and not feel like the food was the highlight of my day or anything anymore. Or when I went to parties, I wasn't worried about it anymore. And it seemed that I wasn't fighting it. And that's, you know, when I first came into OA, I remember hearing this. You take the tiger out of the cage and you walk it 3 times a day. That's what I believed. I believed I had to do this, and that's what the difference was for me, is that I was doing it. I was still running the Sherry Show, even doing abstinence, but it was white-knuckling abstinence. You know, I had to do all this stuff to get prepared for the holidays because I didn't want to break my abstinence during the holidays, and now it's like there's neutrality and peace, and I don't have to take the tiger out and walk it 3 times a day anymore. There is no tiger left because I lean to my higher power. And my higher power is the one that keeps me absent, happily, and contently. Before, when I was running the Sherry Show, I was white-knuckle abstinent. And I don't have to do it that anymore. And that is a miracle, this program, to me. And it's a miracle because of working in this book and doing the step work every day, living in the steps. That's why I have this, because I can't remove this mental obsession. It is my job to put down the food. My part is putting down the food. The rest of it is God keeping me abstinent happily and contently as long as I do my job of staying in the step work and living in the steps and working with others. That's the whole thing tied up in a bow for me, is that if I want to keep, you know, sane, safe, and protected, I do this work on a daily basis, and it keeps me sane, safe, and protected. And without that, I'm going to white-knuckle it all the way for the rest of my life. But with God, I stay absent happily and contently. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Sherry KB. And I will now, I'll remind everybody what we're reading. We're on the bottom of page 84, starting with the last word on the page, we react sanely and normally. And we'll read through six sentences, ending with, we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe, and protected. And I will now take names who would like to share.
John K.
Penny
S.
Okay. Yeah,
say that again. John K. After John K. Who was that, Penny?
Sunny S.
Okay.
Leah TV.
Okay. Oh, hi, Leah.
Katie T.
Any more? John K, Penny S, Leah TD, and Katie T. Anybody else?
Marilyn T.
Marilyn. Kelly T. It's Kelly T and Sunny. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Melanie. All right, we'll stop there. John K., Sunny S., Leah TD, Kelly T., and Marilyn. Oh, I forgot your last initial S, I think it is. Marilyn T., I think it's Marilyn T. Okay, John K., followed by Sunny S.
Okay, good morning. This is John Karen, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thanks for everybody doing service today. You know, this is this group of sentences, some of the most important lines in the book. You know, the 10-step promises are what I want every newcomer and every person struggling with relapse to hear. You know, I mean, I love the 9-step promises, but when I was desperately trying to get abstinent, I needed to hear those 10-step promises a lot more to help me get some hope. You know, I didn't care about being intuitively able to understand things that used to baffle me. I just wanted the craziness with the food to stop. And more than anything, I think I wanted to be placed in that position of neutrality it speaks about here. And you know, today I am. But guess what? It wasn't free, you know. I mean, it didn't cost dollars. God knows I'd spend plenty of that battling my food addiction over the years. But it does cost something that a lot of compulsive eaters, including myself, you know, didn't want to pay. You know, the price for this peace and neutrality around food is surrender. You know, total surrender. And total surrender with my disease meant giving up all the foods around which I couldn't be neutral. And, you know, and I found if I didn't do that, I wasn't going to have that neutrality. You know, if you're at a tool booth and the toll's a buck and you throw in a quarter, that gate ain't going up. But if you want this recovery and you want neutrality with the food, you got to pay the price, the whole price, you know. What foods am I eating that I don't want to give up? You know, what other things might I be avoiding about my eating that might help? You know, this is why I believe recovery from food addiction, you know, it's harder than alcohol. You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. If I just stay out of the beer, wine, liquor aisles of the store, I'm fine. But imagine if I had to consider every liquid I drink, you know. Does this one cause me to want to drink booze again? No? Oh, okay, I can have that one. How about this one, you know? And it's just, it's funny because, you know, sometimes when I lead a relapse workshop, I'll ask people to write up their red light, yellow light, green light food list, you know, and then I'll talk about surrender. And I'll ask people, raise their hand if they're ready to surrender, and everybody raises their hand. And I say, okay, raise your hand if you're willing to go to any lengths. And they all raise their hand. And then I'll say, okay, now raise your hand if you're willing to take all those foods on your yellow light list you just wrote and put them on your red light list. they're like, whoa, you know, we've moved from theoretical to reality. But that's the key. It's about surrender. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it's not just the food. It's about weighing and measuring. Maybe it's about calling in your food. I don't know. It's different for everybody. But I do know that the price for this neutrality is both surrender in the beginning. And then for me today on a daily basis, it's working my butt off every day to stay in that fit spiritual condition. If I don't, I'm on my road back to those days of craziness, you know, with the food. And I don't want that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. We have Sunny S. followed by Layout TD.
Hi, this is Sunny S. I'm here in Colorado. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, what stuck out, we will seldom be interested in liquor. I mean, I know that the first few times I spoke with my sponsor and we talked about what foods need to be in my red list. And I was thinking, oh my God, like, what am I trusting here? And for a moment there, it was about completely letting go and trusting something I hadn't even seen. And, you know, and the gift from that, you know, because in terms of like, you know, what it says here, we're not fighting it, we're avoiding temptation. I mean, just the fact that I can be present in a situation, you know, and not obsessed about everything related to food, or I'm not thinking when, or I'm not thinking how, I'm just fully present. I can be with other people. I can listen. I can be compassionate. I was also thinking about the fact that I can be at the mall and recognize the smell of cinnamon and recognize it just as that, you know, just as a smell of cinnamon, instead of having to think of, oh my God, this is like my next binge, or how am I going to do it? It's nothing about that. You know, neutrality, safe and protected, just feeling like I'm okay no matter if I go traveling, if I am going through a breakup, if I go through grief. I mean, it doesn't matter. Or if I'm in extreme happiness, I am safe and protected. I have my meal plan. I have my higher power guiding me on this, and I'm not going to go out and, you know, with self-will and getting all of this, because that's what used to happen. You know, I was doing diet plans fully based on self-will. If things were okay, well, they went okay. And if it didn't, then it came Thursday to Sunday where I was binging, you know, the whole weekend. And so I don't need to do that anymore. I can surrender. I have a higher power, and I can trust in this program. And the gifts that this program has given me are beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. So I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sunny S. Layout TD, followed by Kelly T.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Gosh, I'm in a really loud area. Thank you so much, and thank you, Sherry KB, and everyone today on the line. I love this defense that promises, you know, and it's just, when I was reading it this morning, I was thinking about all my ideas of how I'm going to get to neutrality and safe and, I don't know, but safe and protected, because I always felt, I knew I'm going to fall, you know, and so I would go on a crazy diet. I would, you know, fasting sounds like a great idea, just not eat, you know, because it's too much, you know, like was shared about the, you know, taking the tiger three times a day. You know, I used to say, no way, I have to be friends with this kitty because it's going to bite me if I take it for a walk. You know, I was terrified of that kitty. You know, swearing that I'm never going to do that, going on diet, going to therapy. You know, I knew, you know, I was a lot of very abused as a child, sexually abused. That was, I always said, I thought it was connected to that. You know, if I could just be free from the pain of the past, then I wouldn't need to eat that way. And so I never forget, you know, it's been over 18 years. I never forget the preoccupation, the obsession with body weight, with losing weight, with getting the food to fix the pain. I will never forget that. It was my biggest burden. My whole life I wished to come to a place of neutrality. There is nothing in the world that I wanted more than that. I didn't want to win the lottery. This was more than anything, than winning the lottery, than anything, having a child, being married, having a house, all those things that everyone wished for. For me, it was just free me from this insanity. And when this happened to me in February 28th of 2000, it was like parting of the sea, really. It was, this was the proof that God existed. Because I exhausted any human power, my own and other therapists, and nothing against therapy, but nothing was able to free me. So this was the beginning. This was the proof that God existed. And it's just phenomenal, because from then on, the focus was only about on spiritual growth. And so many more things, you know, with God in the center of my life has happened. And I have felt ever since then safe and protected. I'll pass. I love you all. Thank you.
And thank you, Leah T.D. Kelly T., followed by Marilyn T.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, good morning. My name is Kelly T. from New York City. Wow, such a beautiful reading for this morning. I haven't been able to get on and share. So grateful to do that today. And I had a really breakthrough this past weekend, and it totally relates to the reading. So I mistakenly forgot to bring my breakfast for after the workout. So I was away from home and I had everything ready, but I forgot to pack everything. And when I noticed after my workout, I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, my food. And instead of dwelling on it, I acted on it. Yeah, I was in fear. I went to three different locations just to get my meals. Yes, I spent more money, but it didn't matter to me because I was like, I go any length to get my balanced meals, my food plan. And I was just hard on myself, like, oh, I should have bring higher power, my anxiety, and I was freaking out. But then when I spoke to my sponsor, and I just cried, and I was able to relax, and I was just peaceful. And I'm just grateful that I was able to let it go and connect with the higher power and have my balanced meals that day. Because I could have just went and pick up my red light foods, but I trust in my higher power to go at any length to get my meal plan, no matter what. It didn't matter how much money I spent, and I had my scale, so I was taken care of. And I was able to let go and cry it out with my sponsor, with my higher power, Mother Earth, and do my work. It was the most beautiful thing ever. It was a breakthrough to not be so hard on myself. And I'm a human being. I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, I left my food. But I had an opportunity to turn that around and take action for myself and take care of myself. And I wouldn't have got that if I didn't do the steps and vision for you. And for that, I'm really grateful. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. Marilyn T., you're on.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you, everyone on the line. This is Marilyn T. from Southern California, a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. What really struck me in the six sentences today was we reacted sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. You know, it just struck me when we're reading this. I mean, it just almost brings me to tears. It is so true. The promises are so true. And I think John Kay, when he spoke, he's right. These are the ones that you are just gobsmacked with, that this could actually happen to someone who has been, I've been so crazy with my food all my life. To realize just how sanely you think, I remember when the voices stopped in my head in the beginning of January when I started this, doing this A Vision for You program. Is this what normal people don't hear, all of this chatter and insane talking, like there is a conference going on in your head about food, where to get it and how to have it and what you're going to have, and, you know, can you get away from what's going on in your life just so you can get your food? I mean, it's just insane, and we all know that. But to be sane and normal and to, it happens automatically. This is the gift of this program. This is the gift I get from my God, my higher power, whom I call God. And it just, it's just, words cannot describe. That's just what it means to me. Words cannot describe how thankful and blessed I am that every day, if I work this program as hard as I can work it, that I will have neutrality with food. With that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Marilyn T. And I'll now remind everybody where we are. We're on page 84, the last paragraph. The last word in that paragraph, starting with "we react sanely and normally," reading through six sentences, ending with "placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected." And I will now take the name of those who like to share.
Michelle, Sarah A.
I can't hear at all. There's a lot of background noise.
Stephanie N.
Wendy M.
Wendy.
Michelle L.
Michelle L. So I have Stephanie N, Wendy M, and Michelle L. Hope I got all that correct. Anyone else? We're going slow today.
Mary G.
Mary G. Thank you. Anyone else? We have time. All right, we'll go with that group, and I'll take another group if we have time. Stephanie N., Wendy M., Michelle L., and Mary G. Stephanie N., you can get us started, followed by Wendy M. Press star 1 to unmute, Stephanie.
Okay, thank you. This is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas. And when I was first working with my sponsor, I did not have neutrality around food. I was in my early abstinence. I would, you know, if it was in my hand, it was going in my mouth. And I have six kids, and so it was, I was always fixing someone food and packing lunches and all of that stuff. And so, I was white knuckling at first, but I would listen to vision meetings while I packed lunches. That would keep me from eating the food. And as I worked through the steps, one night I realized, oh my gosh, I don't even want this. I don't care anymore. And it was the most miraculous thing, that I didn't want to pop those chips in my mouth when I was packing my kids' lunches, and that I could scoop them ice cream, which was my biggest binge food, and not even care. It truly was amazing. I didn't ever think that that was possible. And I was happy, and I didn't feel sorry for myself. I wasn't in self-pity anymore. I celebrated three of my kids' birthdays this past 9 days. We've had three of their birthdays, and I was able to, you know, do their parties and do everything and have no self-pity. And one of my daughters, we had two parties for her because we had her actual birthday and then her friend party. And she was like, Mommy, do you don't care if you can have this? And I said, well, no, sweetheart, I just want to celebrate you. That's all I care about is you. And it was true. And before, all I cared about was the food. You know, my kids' birthdays, it was just an opportunity for me to get my favorite stuff. And, you know, so I could just have all the ice cream I wanted. And I was very covetous of the ice cream. So I would give everyone small little scoops so I'd be sure there was plenty for me to have later that night. And I would stuff it in the back of the freezer so it would be there waiting for me. And I don't have to do that anymore. It's all about them. And it's not about me and my getting my fix anymore. You know, and that is, you know, acting sane and normal. I always thought it was going to be normal when I could just eat what everyone else is having. And I would watch people like, oh, she's having it and she's thin, so I can have it too. That's not the being normal that I thought, you know, I always thought that was what was normal, to be able to eat anything I wanted. But the being normal that I have found that I'm so grateful for is to not have the mental chatter about getting my fix and putting myself ahead of everyone else, that I can be sane and thinking of others and not worrying about when I'm going to get my next fix. So I'm just so grateful for the program. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. And Wendy M., followed by Michelle L.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And thank you, Mo, and everybody else on the line. And I'm just so grateful to be here. So the promises are absolutely working in my life. They are showing up all over the place. My life currently is beyond my wildest dreams. But how do I, you know, how do I get that? How do I get the promises? I have to actually do things, right? So the first thing I had to do was put the food down. But more importantly, I had to be entirely abstinent. And for the first 15 years in OA, I was what I considered abstinent, but I was swimming in sugar, had no idea. And that's why I kept craving the flour, you know, and just would shove flour into my mouth saying that it's only sugar that I'm allergic to. My point being, this piece of entire abstinence, if you're struggling out there, it's so much easier to be entirely abstinent than it is to be in the food. And it doesn't take very long. Literally, I put all the food down, sugar, flour, sweeteners, all of it. And within probably 48 hours, I was neutral with food, which was a bloody miracle. And also, I think it's also, you know, it validates the fact that God completely exists. Absolutely. There's no way I would have done it without God, you know. And so I just want to say that first. And the thing I never hear is kind of step negative one, which is going shopping, right? This is a practice. I'm not going to get these promises unless I go shopping. I have to have a plan. I have to have my food. And for me, going shopping is a spiritual experience. It's a complete surrender, right? Because I'm planning, because I'm taking care of. I'm not surprised. Oh, look, how did I find myself in the mountains in a cabin without any food? I guess I have to eat whatever's there. I hear that a lot. So, you know, the planning, just going shopping is a miracle. And then entire abstinence is the deed. And if I'm not entirely abstinent, I'm not going to get these promises, because today I'm neutral with food. You know, my son's ice cream is cardboard. Everything is cardboard. I don't understand how it works. I don't have to understand. I just have to practice this program. I am not on a diet. I have no urge to eat these foods at all. I have complete freedom from this, from white knuckling, you know. And the white knuckling is not just the food, it's also white knuckling life, right? So that's incredible. Because before, you know, and the other piece too is because I'm neutral with food, I can enjoy other human beings. I'm free. I've got all this space in my head to be present for other human beings, to be present for God, to do God's will, to be happy, joyous, and free. And I can tell you, I feel completely happy, joyous, and free in my life. It's phenomenal. Life is awesome. And all you have to do is get entirely abstinent. It's not hard, and it only takes literally a couple of days, you know. So I don't spend time in my head with the food. I've got a whole bunch of space available to be of service and to love life and to notice things, you know, and to have freedom. And I was insane before, you guys. I was really insane, not just with the food, but with people, places, and things. And today I have so much freedom, and God is vast. And if you are struggling, call me. I'm so happy to help you get entirely abstinent. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. Michelle L., followed by Mary G.
Good morning. Hi, this is Michelle L., recovering compulsive overeater in Delaware. Thanks for your service. Yeah, I was listening to the promises and realizing how much I am white knuckling it. It's a struggle. It's just a struggle right now. And I've had that neutrality in the past. I remember it, and I don't have it right now. And it's really painful not to, because it's a powerful mental obsession. I'm not acting on it, but I'm still trying to get my effect from the food. And it's not all the time. And what happens is I start out the day feeling neutral. But somewhere around the evening, usually, I get tired and I don't feel so neutral, which makes me wonder if I'm just really just running on self-will anyway. And it's inspiring to hear what everybody is sharing. And I thought I would chime in that I do believe it's possible for me. I feel very willing today. And I am wanting to put myself into the herd. I want to put myself into the pack with you guys and not be an outlier that is just sort of flirting around with everything, with the program and with the food and in and out, because my head is getting really, really crazy doing this. I guess that's really, I just wanted to put my voice out there that I am white knuckling it some, and I would welcome phone calls, and am grateful for what I'm hearing today. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle L. And Mary G., you're up.
Hi, this is Mary G. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Mary.
Okay. Thank you, Mo, for your service and for everyone who's on the line today. I actually wasn't going to share. I was out doing a walk, and when there was a pause, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is great. Maybe I'm supposed to share. So I jumped on, and the word that really struck me was that we will react sanely and normally. You know, I thought when I came into OA that I was sane. I only had to figure out, or OA had to teach me, how to be normal. I just couldn't seem to eat normally. And what I thought normal meant was that I could eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and as much as I wanted, and still be thin. I thought that's what thin people did. I just didn't understand that normal people who are thin did not eat like I did. They don't have the obsession that I did. You know, the constant thinking about food, about diets, about weight. When I actually surrendered my foods, my alcoholic foods, you know, that chatter, that food fog, as they call it, I didn't even know I had that. I didn't even know it existed in my head. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I remember the first day that I literally just didn't think about food from one meal to the next. And I was so shocked. It was like, or I would be all of a sudden hungry. Physical hunger, I never felt it. I didn't even know what that was. You know, it's just so amazing. And the thing is that it did come. I wasn't fighting it anymore. I didn't have to try to control it, you know, to do what I needed to do. And yet I did have to surrender, as was mentioned, those yellow foods. I always, in my 17 years of relapse, had my yellow foods on my food list, and then I would eat them, supposedly just for a special occasion, and I'd wonder, how the heck did I get back in the food again? You know, luckily, I never left LA, and so I always heard the message. I always heard, you know, you got to keep coming back. And you know, when I did finally start working the steps on myself and started to realize what it was that, you know, was triggering this addiction behavior as such, you know, that's where, you know, this whole thing of not fighting it, this position of neutrality, it's just where I live today. And I'm so grateful, because I remember what it was like to fight constantly. I felt like I had to be on guard. You know, I had to be protected from the food, you know, from people telling me, you need to eat this because I made it for you. Oh, you know, of course I had to eat it. You know, I'm grateful today that I don't have to do that, and grateful for the absolute miracle of it. And I know it is for today. You know, I never think of it as forever because that would just get my mind into a fantasy world that doesn't exist. And, you know, just grateful. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Mary G. And for those of you that got on the line a little bit later, we are on page 84 at the bottom of the page, the last word, we. We react sanely and normally, and we're reading through six sentences placed in a position of neutrality and protect, safe and protected. Okay, I have time for like 3 to 4 more shares.
Carolyn C.
Sarah A.
If you...
Julie P.
Julie P., okay. We might be able to squeeze one more in there. If not, we'll go with those three. We have Carolyn C., Sarah A., Julie P. And if you've always wanted to share and been afraid, it's time to press star 1.
Deborah P.?
Deborah P., okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. All right, Carolyn C., follow Sarah A., Julie P., Deborah P. Carolyn C., you're on.
Hi, this is Carolyn C. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and thanks for your service and everyone who's been sharing today. I haven't shared in a while. This is Carolyn C., recovered in Colorado for today. And one of the things that I've been noticing and working with a sponsee is that, you know, I had sort of a spiritual awakening. You know, there are definitely moments where I had spiritual awakenings, and how it relates to the 10-step promises, you know, it's that, like, I had those feelings of where all of a sudden I was in a meeting and someone was reading the 10-step promises, and I was like, wow, I'm feeling those, you know, and I'm still working the steps, and holy cow, you know, and the pink cloud, and just having people telling, you know, the validation that I'm doing a great job, and, you know, I didn't feel like I needed that, but I think I did want it, you know. And after the first year, and I settled into this, like, this life that I was living, I started to feel let down. I started to feel sadness creep back in. I started to feel my own self-sabotage and the voices in my head start to fill that up, that space up, that, you know, not that I was empty, but that, like, just after years and years of sabotaging myself, that voice got really, really loud. And I started to feel like I was white knuckling it a bit, even though I was doing the steps, even though I was waking up and connecting with my higher power, or at least I thought I was. And I didn't reach out enough. I didn't lean on the tools enough because I had a connection with my higher power. But, you know, one of the members on this call talks about the four impediments to God, and I didn't heed that call enough. And so, you know, I had a moment where ego won out and I was in the food. Thankfully, it was only for one moment. But the beauty of this program is that I didn't let that ruin all of the progress and all of the work, and just really have leaned back into the frame of action and progress, not perfection. And, you know, but the most important thing is to just keep working the steps, keep getting back into the program, keep working with your sponsors or whoever it is on your God squad, because the promises are still there. And sometimes it's a little quieter, but they are working in my life every day. And anyone who's struggling out there, lean into the tools. Don't isolate, because that's where, you know, God gets quiet and can't do the work that is available to us. And thanks for letting me share. I hope you all have a blessed day.
Thank you.
And I pass.
Thank you. Sarah A., followed by Julie P.
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah A. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It was so incredible to come into the meeting today when I did,
just in time to hear someone talking about taking the tiger for a walk. And there's an addict in my life who told me, who basically has been telling me that, you know, the addiction is under control because it's locked in a cage, in a box, in a cage, in a box, in a cage, in a box. And I know that that's not the truth, that tiger is waiting to come out at any time. And the validation I got from hearing that, as that literally the first words I heard when I got on the call, was just, I felt like such a sign from God for me. I've been in program now for about almost 9 months. I've been abstinent for almost 9 months. And I do have that sanity and neutrality around my food. This weekend I had a family dinner and it's painful. I think putting down my food allowed me to feel a level of pain that I've had not been able to experience before, because I was numbing it and I was living dead, and I don't want to live dead anymore. And that's really the motivation for me. That was the motivation, because I had lost 35 pounds somehow, I don't know how, you know, by controlling my addiction. Being abstinent, I have lost 15 pounds, but the vast majority of it I lost before. I was okay that way. I didn't come in for the weight. I was all right before. I came in because I didn't want to be dead anymore. I wanted to feel, and that has been a gift of my recovery and of my program, that I have been able to feel and connect to myself and to other people and see the pain in the people around me. And I sat at a family dinner this past weekend, next to my husband, across from my children, with my grandchildren, seeing pain, hearing pain, dishing out brownies and ice cream for everybody else while I ate my, you know, my abstinent baked apple. And there was no pull, there was no draw, I wasn't going to eat the food. I weigh and measure everything. 6 ounces of fruit is 6 ounces of fruit. 5.9 is insane. 6.1 is insane. 6.0, I'm normal. That's not like the way I normally am. Normally I'm, you know, in other areas of my life, it's close enough, good enough. No, 6.0, 4.0, 12.0, whatever it is, even to take off itty bitty little pieces and put them back, because this is my sanity. And I have that neutrality. And at the same time, the miracle that I'm experiencing greater pain than I've ever felt before, because I always use the food to numb the pain, and I don't have the pull to the food, is really beyond a miracle. Wow. And thank you so much. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. And we only have time for one more share. So Julie P., Deborah P., I'm sorry. Julie P., you're on.
Hi, this is Julie P. You know, I just, it was like silent, and I was like, oh, wow, am I supposed to share? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I'm so not abstinent. I've been listening to the Vision for You for the last 4 days and just really struggling. Last Thursday, Friday, and then Monday and today. And I'm just really struggling with that insanity of that obsession where I get up in the morning and I'm all like, okay, here we go. Here's the day, God. You know, and I do my reading and I do my prayer. And, you know, it's like 4 o'clock hits and I'm like, what to eat? You know, and it's just insane. And it just keeps going, you know. I have kids, so I have other stuff around that's not, you know, I can't live in this little bubble where it's like only my food. And so I'm just struggling, and you know, I know recovery, and I've had abstinence, and it's like I want that back, but it's like, am I really willing? You know, 6.0, you know, not 5.9. I'm a 5.9. I'm just struggling with. I guess I'm just struggling really with the willingness, you know, and am I really willing to do this? And how much pain do I have to be in, you know? I know I listen to people, and that neutrality is, is definitely calling me. You know, it's something that my soul craves. But my disease is strong and powerful. And, you know, it just keeps talking to me and saying, I don't know, if you want to get a sponsor, you're going to have to do a lot of work. You know, I'm lazy. I don't want to do work. I want to just be feel good and neutral and sane and, you know, do my little prayer and my little reading and be done with it. So anyway, I know it's just my head back and forth, that chatter. And what I heard today, and thank you very much for all your shares, is got to put the food down, you know. And for me, it's that willingness to pick up the phone and call somebody. I have signed up on your website and haven't looked into the numbers yet, but I'm going to say that out loud to you guys today and try to call some people today when I get that feeling. So thank you very much. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Julie P. I want to thank everyone who shared today and those who gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Leslie W. please read a vision for you?
This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in